Now, we've had several missionaries here tonight, and I might as well put my plug in. I'm not looking for support, but we're in the state of Washington. Yeah. I don't know if you know what Washington statistically is the least church state of all 50. By that, I mean less people per capita go to church in the state of Washington than any state in America, including Alaska. Lewis County is the least church state, or it's the least churched county in the state of Washington. We're in Lewis County. We're on a mission field. Now, if some of you young men want to go to a mission field, there's a possibility for you. Now, don't call me up and ask about a situation. I get those phone calls regularly. They say, Brother Modlis, you don't know me, but I've heard about you, and God has burdened my heart for the Northwest. And I say, well, that's fine. And you know, one of the first things I usually ask, it's an amazing thing to me. I never have figured out what this has got to do with the will of God. They say, what's the weather like up there? Miserable, thank you. I never have figured out what weather has to do with the will of God. But it seems to have something to do with it as far as some folk are concerned. And then they'll go on and they'll say, well, I'm looking for a situation. I say, well, what do you mean by situation? I know what they mean. I know what they mean. They mean a church building paid for. Amen. With lots of tithing members. Yeah. Yeah. A 98 Oldsmobile. A secretary, a desk, and a pencil. That's what they mean. They say, now do you know of a situation? No, I don't know of any situations, and if I did, I wouldn't tell you. I'd go take it myself. I always tell them the same thing. I say, brother, I don't know, we don't have what you're looking for, but I can tell you about dozens and dozens of cities and towns that don't have any kind of an independent Baptist church. Well, I just don't feel led to start a church. I don't feel led. I don't know that God's ever laid that on my heart. But I do believe I could take one. Well, if that's your M.O., don't call me. Save your money. But if you think that maybe God could use you to be a pioneer, and God could use you to carve something out of the granite and start from square one, well, there's a good place to do it, up in the Pacific Northwest. It's not the only place. There's all kinds of places, aren't there? But it's a place. And there's no shortage of sinners. Lots of them around. God's been good to us up there. Been there about 7.5 years. Got 2 churches started from scratch. Pastored both of them for about 2 years. And finally turned the one in the Olympiary over to Brother Bosley, who's a PBI graduate. He was my associate, and he's now pastoring that work, doing a good job. And I'm pastoring another church down in about 30 miles south of there. Lord's been doing some things lately. We're 1 month away from moving into a new building. And 1 week after we move in, Brother Ruckman's coming out, Brother Bemis is coming down, we're going to have a blowout ourselves. And it'll be something for folk in that part of the world. You know, you people down here, you do have a lot of blessings. You know how far I'd have to go to find a hillbilly band? Do you know how much money it'd cost me to ship in a hillbilly band to Washington? I mean, there just ain't anything out there, folks. We've got to manufacture it ourselves. well, enough about that. I don't know if you've got any pet peeves. I have a few. Not many. Most things don't bother me. I can get along with just about anyone. But there's a few things that bug me. And you know, some folks get all excited about things that the world say, and most of the things that the world says has no effect on me. You know, I've seen folks just get upset, red in the face, veins sticking out over something that Ted Koppel said. I mean, why would you care? I've heard folks get upset about what Ted Turner, Diane Sawyer, Bryant Gumbel, or Sam Donaldson, or Maria Shriver, Joan London, or Peter Jennings, or Dan Rather said. Who cares? I wouldn't waste 5 seconds worrying about it. Wouldn't even concern myself with it. But I've seen folks do it. Oh, do you know what they said, preacher? What do you expect from an idiot? And then some folks get all excited about what they said on TBN. Come on. I don't have a television, but so when I go to a meeting like this and folks are gracious to us like you are and very hospitable and you put us in a nice motel, I pig out on TV. I do. I max out on it. I get 2-3 days of it, and that's enough to remind me why I don't have one. I don't need it. And I turn on the TBN channel when I can find it. I don't get mad, I'm amused. I think it's hysterical. Folks get all upset about it. They get upset about what Schuller said in his glass cathedral. They get upset about what the Pope said. What would you expect from that blockheaded Polack? Listen, I'm Polish. He's the greatest disgrace that ever happened to the Polish people. Folks get upset about Bill and Hillary. Good night. Save your blood pressure. Oh, they get all out of sorts about Tom Foley or the governor of their state or Barney Frank or Jesse Jackson. Who cares? I don't let that stuff bother me. You know, in reality, you got to expect it. Doesn't that Bible say, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, men shall be lovers of their own selves? Isn't that what it says? And then folk come along and say, oh, preacher, things are so awful, and things are getting worse and worse and worse. I know that. I don't lose sleep over it. God said it was going to happen. Why in the world would you take blood pressure pills or Prozac over something that God already told you was going to take place? But folks do, you know. There's not much of what the world says that bothers me. It just rolls off my back like water off a duck's back. I don't care. But this does grate on me. This is one of my pet peeves. And when someone gets off on this, I get on my soapbox. I get steamed, I get hot, I get righteously indignant. Now, I don't suppose too many in this crowd would be guilty of this, but if you are, then we're going to get you. So I may not be preaching directly to you, but at least what hopefully we can do tonight is put some ammo in your arsenal. give you a little ammunition so when you hear this kind of trash, you'll have something to come back with. And the thing that bothers me and gets my dander up and gets the fur up on the back of my neck is when the world wants to blame my God for all that goes wrong in the world. Most often in today's world, God receives the blame for everything that goes wrong. And when something goes right, he never gets the credit. Man takes the credit. He says, look what we did. The world says, why does so many suffer? It must be God's fault. You know what mankind wants? He wants a God who will treat them as robots with no choice as far as blessings are concerned. But they desire to maintain their free will in relationship to sin and self-will. That's what the world wants. No, no, no. When they say, why is it that we have so much child abuse, so much perversion, so many murders, so many rapes, so many wars, so many atrocities, why would God allow that? I'm going to answer the question for you. Let's go back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, now the serpent, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Let's pray. Now, Lord, this has been an unusual occasion this evening. And we have really rejoiced in just having the opportunity to be part of it. And God, I consider it a great responsibility as well as a privilege to preach to these folk. And Lord, you know that there's nothing that I've got to say that can possibly prove to be valuable to these people. But I know that what you have to say is very valuable. And so I pray that tonight the Word of God might genuinely minister to our hearts, feed our souls, encourage us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. By the time we get to the third chapter of the Word of God, we find that the devil is messing with mankind. And the story is very self-explanatory. We get through seven verses of the third chapter and we see that man has made a very fateful decision. He had a God that he could enjoy fellowship with. He had a God whom he could walk in the garden with. He had a God whom provided his every need, and he had a God who took care of every conceivable thing that man could ever want or desire. He lacked nothing. And yet mankind determined and chose another God. in the verses that we've just read. They said, we'll take that fella over there. And the serpent's been messing with us ever since. In verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now this is an immediate proclamation of self-righteousness. That's what a fig leaf represents in the Word of God. Interestingly, when the Lord Jesus walks in the New Testament and he sees a fig tree that's withered up, he curses the thing. And consequently, it does wither. It's a picture of man proclaiming his self-righteousness. Man made a choice for Satan. Look in Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. We're going to look at some Bible tonight. Deuteronomy 32. And verse 17. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. And so we see that this is a continuing difficulty and problem. Mankind is now proliferated into millions and millions of people, and even a people here that are being spoken of in Deuteronomy 32 that are the apple of God's eye, God's own chosen people, Israel, even they have sacrificed unto devils. Over and over and over again, man raises his angry fist to God, and he says, I'll choose another God. Take your Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And verse 8, that book says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, what are the works of the devil? Obviously, if God says the devil has works, then he must be busy about his work. I wonder what his work is. Let's look in Psalm 106. Psalm 106. I was making a visit some time ago in a home of a senior citizen, an elderly lady who's been attending our church. She's saved. She loves God. And one of her neighbors came in the midst of the conversation. He was kind of a rude dude. He just jumped in the middle of it and started putting his 2 cents worth in. And that was, of course, his deal. Well, preacher, what are you going to do about all of the atrocities of the world and tell me that there is a God of love? You know the routine. You've heard it a million times. I let him go on and on and on and on. And finally I said, I've had enough of this turkey. I quietly got up off the couch. I walked over to him. I got about that far from his nose. I said, let me tell you something, bucko. And I put my finger right in his chest. I said, your problem isn't what God is or isn't doing. Your problem is you're trying to duck the issue of your sin. You know what he did? He went, and I just followed him right into the kitchen. In Psalm 106 and verse 35, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore, watch it, therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low with their iniquity. Folks say, why does God allow child abuse? Why do we hear so much about all this perversion that's taking place in the homes and the marketplaces of America? Why is it today that parents are fearful even to take their children to a daycare center? Why is it that people are terrified to send their kids to public school? Because a long time ago, America made a decision to serve another God. And that's how that God treats your kids. Let me tell you something, friend. Don't blame my God. My God never treated a child like that. My God said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And he took them in his arms and he loved them and he cared about them. That's my God. Now, if you got a different God, you ought to dump him. You ought to get rid of him. I don't know how your God's treating you, but my God's treating me real fine. I've got no complaints. I'm like the brother down here. I don't know why God treats me so good. Folks say, I don't understand why people are dealing with such emotional depression and oppression and despair. And I don't know why folks are dealing with all of the symptoms of psychological trauma that they deal with today. I don't know why the nut houses of America are full and overflowing. I don't know why every other guy on the street's taking Prozac or taking some other kind of a pill. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I'm going to tell you why, because they chose the wrong God, and their God's not in the business of treating them real well. Don't blame my God for this nonsense. All right, now, in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. You remember over in the Gadarenes and the maniac that was running around in the graveyard cutting himself and all of that kind of hysteria? I'd say that man had a serious psychological problem. Wouldn't you say so? You say, well, God just didn't treat that fellow very well. No, his God didn't, did he? But you've got to make the differential. You've got to understand the distinction. His God wasn't my God. Because when my God got a hold of him, he fixed the problem. Folks say, I just don't know why it is that the world is so full of wars. I'm glad you asked. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea in chapter 11. Oh, I get upset when folks start blaming my God for all this stuff. Hosea chapter 11, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. That's my God. That's my God. And I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. That's my God. Amen. He shall not return unto the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king, because they refused to return. Now, if you know anything about your Bible, that word Assyrian keeps popping up and popping up and popping up and popping up, and that Assyrian turns out to be a picture of the devil, don't he? All right, and the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches, and devour them because of their own counsels. And my people are bent to backsliding from me, though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. Now, why is the sword there? Why are the cities devoured? I'll tell you why, because they chose the wrong God. You know, people really do ask some stupid questions. They say, why is it, preacher, that Northern Ireland and Croatia and Somalia and Ethiopia and Angola and Russian satellite countries and on and on and on and on, why is it that we continually are confronted with the killing fields of Cambodia? Could it be that somewhere back yonder, maybe in a 1917 Bolshevik revolution, a people said, we'll choose that God. We'll take him. In the early 1960s, I was a student at Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. That's not a recommendation. That's just history. That's all. At that time, the emperor of Ethiopia was a gentleman by the name of Haile Selassie. Haile Selassie called three men from the Baptist Bible Fellowship to come to Ethiopia for a personal interview. Dr. Beecham Vick, Dr. Bill Dow, and Dr. Fred Donaldson. And those men went to Ethiopia. They had a private audience with Haile Selassie. And the emperor of Ethiopia said this. He said, my country has been a Christian country for centuries. But I see the tide turning. Would you please send 100 missionary families to my country? He said, we will do, I will personally do everything that I possibly can to expedite that program. Those men came back to Baptist Bible College. I was a student there then. I heard it. And a plea was made. Would anyone go to Ethiopia? Lots and lots of students volunteered. Some of my own classmates actually went. But in the process of those churning current events of that day, the people of Ethiopia were faced with a decision. At the same time that the gospel was being preached, communism was being proliferated throughout that country and dropped in millions and millions of pamphlets. It was being preached, and the people of Ethiopia came to a crossroads of decision. And their decision was communism. Their decision was the God of atheism. And as a people, they turned their back on my God. And the media today, to this day, turns on the news cameras and puts it on the television, and you see the distended bellies, and you see the malnutrition, and you see the suffering, and somehow they're trying to make you feel guilty for it. And I say, wait a minute! It doesn't make me happy, it doesn't make me glad, but the fact of the matter is, the people of that particular country back in the 60s chose another God, and he's just not in the habit of treating his folks very good. Not long ago, we saw the same kind of nonsense in Somalia. And we heard all about the warlords that ravaged the countryside. In 1959, Somalia made a decision. And they threw out the last Christian missionary from that country. And there haven't been one since. They chose another God. And their God just don't treat his folks very good.
Come on.
Now my God's been real good to me. But the Assyrian brings destruction and a sword. Folks say, why are all the third world countries that suffer from just the lack of the bare essentials, like some of these Russian satellites where some of these brethren are even going, why is that? You tell me there's a God. We see all this vast array of human suffering. I'm sure glad you asked. Take your Bibles and go to Psalm 109. You know what the problem with folks today is, don't you? It's the same problem that Jesus faced when he said, you do greatly err not knowing the scriptures. That's the problem. Now in Psalm 109, hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compass me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him and let Satan stand in his right hand. Uh-oh. You reject God's blessings. You reject God's message. You reject God's truth. And in the process, your declaration is this: I am choosing that God over there. I like him better. I'll take him, thank you. And the Lord said, I wish you wouldn't.
Yeah.
The Lord says, I'll plead with you and beg with you.
Yeah.
Is not the Lord gracious and merciful? Even after the killing fields of Cambodia, God in his mercy still lays on the heart of some young man to go there. And you want to talk about my God as a God of no love? Are you nuts? When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be a few, and another take his office. Watch it now. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. That's what happens when Croatia, that's what happens when Serbia, that's what happens when the nations of the world say, we'll take him. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath. That's why the biggest economy in Russia today is the black market. You with me? Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him. Let there be neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Now, you start looking around and observing people and nations and watch that thing. Listen, folks. I mean, there's some incredible things that have taken place. I mean, here not all that many years ago in central China, they had an earthquake, and we get shook up when we have an earthquake out in San Francisco and 20 or 30 or 40 people get crushed under a freeway. You know, back in 1965, they had an earthquake in central China, and they estimate that 500,000 people died? Is anyone listening? Why is that? Because as a people, as a nation, they said, we'll take that God over there. That God over there doesn't treat his folks so good. My God treats me real good. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Chronicles 21. You know, I've heard some of the comments over the years. I know what some people say. I've heard it. You know, they say, I got one missionary buddy says, the sun always shines on Modlish. Another guy said he's got the Midas touch. He can always turn it to gold. I'm here to tell you, it ain't true. But boy, my God's got the Midas touch. He can make it work. He can make it work. Year ago next month, I resigned the church I'd been pastoring in the Olympia area of Washington. And I gave the keys and the badge to my young associate, Brother Dave Bosley, who graduated from here some years ago. And we just had a little handful of people down in the Centralia, Chehalis area, Twin Cities area, about 30 miles south. Meeting in a little rundown storefront, shabby-looking building. And we drove out of the parking lot of that church. Nice building. Paved parking lot. We drove out of the parking lot that night, and I said to my wife, I said, honey, it's another adventure of faith. And she said, I sure don't want to worry. She said, are we okay? Yeah, our God's fine, thank you. We had been absolutely terrorizing that entire area for 2 years down there looking for any kind of a building that we could get our hands. I came up with every kind of slick scheme in the world. I found an evangelical free church. Big, beautiful building. They had a handful of people. I even got them to agree to rent the building to us while Dr. Ruckman came and held a meeting there. I thought in my mind, I got it, a corporate takeover. We'll get all of our people to join their church. We'll have more votes than they do, and then we'll kick them out. Yeah. It seemed like a good idea. God said, no, you're not going to do it that way. I said, oh, rats. The next year, there's just right down the street from where we're meeting, there's a little Southern Baptist church. About to go belly up. Just hanging on by a thread. That's a whole other story. I got in a conversation with the preacher down there about the book. He hates the King James Bible. I said to him, I said, did it ever occur to you that there might be a reason why you're starving to death? This is right after he confessed to me that he hadn't had a salary in 4 months. Couldn't get it. So I said, would you rent your building to us? We want to have an evangelistic crusade in your building. He said, all right. I had the same plan. Nice little building, nice paved parking lot. All I got to do is take a chainsaw to a sign and put a new one up. I said, this will work. I even approached him with an idea. I said, look, you haven't had a salary in 4 months. Is that right? He said, that's right. I said, how about this? You resign the church. My people will join yours. You get out of Dodge, and I'll pay you your back salary plus a bonus. I told him that. I had a verse. Don't you always have a verse? I had a verse. But I'm not going to tell you what it is. I went home, I told my wife, I said, he's going to do it. I said, I've been trolling in his pond and he's hungry. He's going to take the Lord. I said, hang on, honey. It's only a matter of weeks. We're going to have us a building. He didn't do it. He's still down there starving to death. So getting back to where we left off, the last night I was in the church in Olympia, we drove home. We live out in the country, a long drive that night. I was heavier in my heart than I wanted to confess to my wife. I said, boy, we're kind of... Here we go again. I've started 7 churches. Been through 12 church building programs. Yeah, sometimes I do need a psychiatrist. The very next day, 12 hours later, we went down to Chehalis Centralia area to run some errands. We were driving up the main drag. I'd covered every street in town and road in that county, I thought. They just built a brand new super Walmart right off the freeway. Everybody knows where Walmart is.
Yeah, right. Yes, they do.
1 mile from Walmart, going up the main drag, there's a road that goes up a little canyon, Coal Creek Road. I said, you know, how is it that we have covered this county sideways, backwards, forwards? We've never been up that road right there. I said, let's drive up that road. It's 12 hours after I drove out of the parking lot by faith, folks. I serve a great God. We drove up the road exactly 1 mile on the up that road on the right-hand side. 1 mile off the main drag, off the busy thoroughfare, 1.5 miles from a brand new Walmart store where everybody knows where it is. Just that far out, and yet it looked... absolute pastoral country valley up there, a nice little creek meandering down through, tall ridges on each side, big fir and pine trees everywhere, green grass, cows grazing in the pasture. I mean, 1 mile, and we're driving up the road, and there's a metal, green and white, brand new building 75 yards off the road. And it had a sign on it that said, for sale or lease. I said, how come it is? I've never seen that before. We quickly wrote down the phone number, went home and called the number. I said to the gentleman, I'm interested in your building. He said, well, really, it belongs to my father-in-law. He's a farmer in Michigan. Call him. I called the man up. I said, I'm interested in your building. He said, what do you want it for? I thought, here we go. I said, I want to put a church in there. And I thought, I might as well go for broke. I said, I want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to folks. He said, I think that's a fine idea. I said, I don't have a lot of money, sir. And there's no bank going to loan us any money. Furthermore, I'm fresh out of millionaires. So I might as well get this settled right up front. Would you be willing to hold the paper on the contract? He said, I can do that. I said, how much do you want down? He said, well, I ought to have at least 25% down. I said, what do you want? And da 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 da. It didn't take me very long to figure out we needed $27,000. He sold us 2.5 acres of ground in a 4,000 square foot brand new building for $109,000. Right now it's worth at least 3 times that. He carried the contract. We raised the $27,000 by God's grace. We put another $40,000 into remodeling it, fixing it up. We're going to move in it in a month. God's given us every nickel of it as we've gone. I didn't have to send any letters out saying, would you please? You know the deal. I serve a good God. Look over in John chapter 8 with me. A couple things and I'm done. I genuinely feel sorry for folk that have no adventure in their life. Last June, a pastor friend of mine flew up from Southern California. We loaded the horses up in the trailer, hitched it to the truck, and went way over to Eastern Washington to Hell's Canyon, deepest canyon in the United States, deeper than the Grand Canyon. And we took the horses in the Winnehaw Toucanon Wilderness area. And we went up a drainage called Crooked Creek. And we got out on this bluff and then we started down the canyon, deep, deep, deep canyon. And the trails are literally about that wide. And you look off and it just goes down, 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 down. And we rode down there for about 20, 30 minutes. Nobody said anything, just me and my buddy and the pack horse, you know. I looked around after a while and I said, Larry, ain't this great? He said, yeah. I said, this is adventure, isn't it? He said, yeah. After, probably 45 minutes of riding down this canyon, we came to one little spot where it's kind of flattened out and some quaky aspen trees growing there. He said, Brother Jim, could we pull over in there for a while? I said, okay, we pull over. Straighten up the pack horse a little bit. We had a great time. Several days just camping up in the canyons and fishing and catching Dolly Varden and putting them in the frying pan as soon as they come out of the creek. Having started seven churches, and he started about that many, sleeping under the stars at night and sitting around the campfire, as great as it was, as soothing as it was, as calming as it was, as adventuresome as it was, we both agreed it can't even come close to living by faith. You're missing it. You're missing it. John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Folks say, well, why does God allow so many murderers and liars and all that business? Well, you're just talking about the wrong God.
Yeah.
You're not talking about my God. You're talking about the God that this world has chosen. You see, who's the author of it right here in the verse? It's the devil. That's who's the author of all that business. One last one. Look over in Hebrews chapter 2. Folks say, I just don't understand it. I don't understand the terrible wreck out on the freeway, preacher. I don't understand why there are four or five teenagers in that wreck and every one of them got mowed down and every one of them's dead and every one of them's in the graveyard. I just don't understand it. I don't understand that drive-by shooting where some innocent person got killed. I don't understand all of the immeasurable injustices of this life and the world. I just don't understand it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That is the devil. Folks, I don't understand it. I do, because the residents, the inhabitants, the citizens of this world over in Luke chapter 19 said, we will not have this man to reign over us. God said, okay, there's your God. There's your God. Now some of you are thinking, yeah, but Christians die too. Christians get in wrecks too. Christians go through wars too. Let me show you the difference. 2 weeks ago, my wife and I sat with a man who was dying. By the way, gentlemen, that's the ministry. Some of them, you see the preachers up here, all dressed up in a nice pinstripe suit, shiny boots on. And you get twinkle dusted with this. With the image, you know? You say, man, whoa, that's the ministry. Let me tell you the ministry. The ministry sitting with a man who's dying. And he's been so totally incapacitated by cancer, even though he was a vigorous and a robust man, that he's reduced to wearing a diaper. And the ministry is, when it needs changed and you're there, you change it.
Amen.
I changed it. My wife sat there and held his hand. I sat there, and even though he was just kind of in and out of consciousness, I read the Word of God to him. I read him verse after verse and chapter after chapter, and I prayed with him several times, and he would reach his hand out and he would grab mine, and even though he was in excruciating pain and the morphine could no longer counteract it, I mean, that's the ministry. It's not all this twinkle dust stuff. And in the last few hours and minutes of that man's life, his eyes became glazed over like an animal that's just been shot. He was in a comatose situation. Folks close to him are gathered around. About 30 seconds before he drew his last breath, his eyes became crystal clear. And they focused on something. He saw something. And it wasn't a look of terror. It was a look of joy. The last day my dad lived, his last hours, he wasn't even conscious. But you know what he kept doing? How does an unconscious man who's had a serious stroke, who's 90 years old, lay flat on his bed and go, you get the difference? There is a time appointed unto men to die, and after this the judgment, and you're going to die because you lived in a cursed body in a cursed world. But if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He did not say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the darkness of death. You've got to have light to have a shadow. You know what Jim Caverly saw 2 weeks ago? He saw the light. I don't know if Johnny Cash saw it, but he did. You know what my dad saw? He saw the light. But if you've chosen the God of this world, he's not so good. Because I've been by other deathbeds too. And it wasn't so pleasant. It wasn't invigorating. It wasn't inspiring. It was gruesome all the way. Which God have you chosen? Don't blame all of the problems of the world on my God. No, sir. No, sir. My God's a good God. And he's never, ever, ever, ever showered me with anything but blessings. You say, preacher, haven't you ever gone through some dark valleys? Yeah, more than you know. More than I'll ever tell. But there was always the light. There was always the light. There was always the comfort. My God's a good God. I recommend him. Choosing. Let's stand for prayer. Now, Lord, it's upsetting to me when folks criticize and fault your goodness. God, I know you must be used to it because it's been going on an awful long time. But Lord, I pray that you not find any of that ingratitude in my heart. But only a spirit of thankfulness for your benevolence and your generosity. God, you gave me eternal life. You forgave all my sins. You made me a child of the King. You've given me the hope of heaven. You've given me an inheritance. You've written it in your own blood. Lord, I have no words to express my thankfulness and my gratitude. God, if there's anyone here tonight that's been blaming you for stuff that you didn't have anything to do with, I pray that their eyes have been opened to some things. The world has chosen a bad God, but it's not you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we pray it in his name, preacher.
We're not going to sing. Let's just tie a little time in prayer and let the musicians play. Anybody here tonight, you're not saved. Wouldn't you like to be a Christian? Wouldn't you like to have the right God? Why don't you just step out of your seat right now with these kneeling here and come and join us? Will you do that? Anywhere in the building. Anywhere in the building. If you're not Christian, not a child of God, will you come right now? And so I'm going to take the Lord Jesus Christ as my God. From now on, I'm going to worship him. He's going to be my God. I'm going to be the right God. Going to be the right God. Will you come right now and join us? Get the order while God's people are praying. Anywhere in the building, whosoever will, let him come. If you're a Christian, you're standing next to an unsaved person, you know they're unsaved, would you give them an invitation at this time? We're not going to sing, but would you give them an invitation right now? Ask they come down here with you. Transfer your allegiance. You come to the one who can help you, friend of publicans and sinners. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I'm not going to sing, just about a minute more. You know what to do. If you don't know what to do, you get help when you come here. Step out of your seat. Say, excuse me, step by somebody and come on. There's somebody waiting for you here when you get here. You would be quietly seated. I'm going to tarry just a minute. I want these up here at the altar to take the time. They're praying about something. I'm going to take the time praying. I'm not going to rush them. I'll let them pray and let them talk it over the Lord. Well, I'm going to ask, I want one of my girlfriends coming forward here and put out these envelopes. Barton's little girl, you come down. Nikki, well, you're going to be the message from Garza tonight. And I want these to come forward here. Now, what you did tonight, you gave $11,502. And I don't know who all the rich folks are, but more power to you. And we have, first of all, $400 apiece for the following man. Come forward, and this young lady will give you your check. $400, Brother Cater. Brother Cater? Brother Linton Smith. Brother Danny Hall. Let's see, Danny Hall and Harrison and Richardson. This is your offering from this morning. And this is $1,065 apiece. Brother Rex Harrison. Brother Rex Harrison. And Larry Richardson. Hey, Larry Richardson. Somebody going to get here. Brother Harrison is for him. Now $400 for Tracy Elwood. Mike Todd. And Jack Patterson. Bill Eubanks, if you'll come. $400 for Herman Fountain and Wayne Munch. $400 for Brother Crutchfield. Okay, let's go. That's Brother Fountain over there. Somebody get his check? Well, amen. Praise the Lord. And folks got saved. Smart fella. Fountain? What? I don't see your check here. I give you a check, somebody else? Sir? Yeah, go ahead. Sure, shoot.
This boy just came down to the altar here. But I'm not trying to embarrass him. I don't want to. But we've been praying for that boy for quite a while. His dad's a preacher. And when he came, he liked to freak me out. This boy had nylons on. He had makeup on. He was a punk rocker. He had fingernail polish on. And he liked to flip us out when he first came in. And to see him get saved tonight is a literal miracle.
Brother Eubanks, Brother Jason Hines, Brother Robert Chansey, Brother Howard Hunter, Howie Hunter. Now, these two fellows came in tonight, Tim Morarity and Doug Tuberville. Going to give you a little extra, help you along your way, $500 apiece for these two fellows here. For the Morarity. And Brother Tuberville. Now, Tom Zach, you get you a car. And, they got you $5,700. I look like you speakers out of luck. Thank you, honey. Thank you. Everybody must be bankrupt by now. I don't know. But I'll read you something before we go here about what you've done now. If you don't know where it is, and it's a passage you probably better learn after you leave here. And I'm not going to tell you where it is. I'm just going to read it. And you come and get a concordance and look it up. It says this. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. That is, when you do what you did here tonight, that causes the saints to thank God. So you knew that, you talk about giving God the glory, that's what gives God the glory. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God. He gets glory from us. For what? For your professed subjection to the gospel of Christ. That is, you make a profession that you're obedient and want to get the gospel out, and that money shows your obedience. Your profession, your subjection matches your profession. And for your liberal distribution to them and to all men, and by their prayer for you. When you gave them money, they started praying for you. By their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Because if you hadn't had the grace of God, you wouldn't have given it. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Well, let's stand to be dismissed. Now, it's pretty late here tonight. If you fellas want to play hockey, we'll close the gym at 11 o'clock. So you only get to play about an hour and 10 minutes. And that's real short for a game of hockey. But if you want to play, we'll play an hour and 10 minutes. Yes, sir. All right. Pray for Brother Elwood for those trips. He got to leave here right away and get on about his deputation. When do you plan to fly over to England?
In May.
Have you got your passage taken care of yet? All right. We try to pay these young men going overseas. We try to get them the church pays the way over. And that's not, we don't have to take a special offer for that. You folks give enough, well enough during Sunday. That stuff you give on Sunday, she goes right in there and over she goes. And we'll get these fellows overseas with that. And Brother Tom Zach, when you go back, we'll pay your fare too. Chancey, when are you going? When? February 19th. Well, we need to take care of that. Okay, Brother Don, dismiss us in prayer. Amen. That's a blowout. Baptist blowout. It's a blowout.
Amen.